Hello and Happy New Year to all of you. Welcome to the first Catholic News podcast of 2014. Our focus today is the World Day for Migrants and Refugees, which falls on the 19th of January, also the Feast of Santo Niño. I'm joined by Bishop Patrick Lynch, Auxiliary Bishop in Southwark, and also the Bishop with Pastoral Responsibility for Migrants and Refugees. Bishop Pat, how are you?
Very well, thank you, James. It's lovely to be here once again, and especially at this time of the year, to talk about the area of migrants and refugees on the World Day of Prayer for Migrants and Refugees, and also, as you say, the Feast of Santo Niño, which is a very special feast day for the Filipino community.
Well, crikey, we could start with the Filipino community, but there are so many topics to go through, so many things in the public consciousness right now, and so many things that should be in our consciousness. Obviously, over the Christmas New Year period, we had the tension and violence in South Sudan, and not too long before that, the natural disaster of Typhoon Haiyan, and Syria. Bishop Pat, continues to have a massive amount of displaced people, several million, and the burden obviously on Lebanon, on Turkey and some of the surrounding countries, the neighbours, has been very great. But we've sort of talked a bit off mic about responsibilities of us over here in the UK, and it's not just financial assistance, is it?
It's not just financial assistance. I think, as you rightly say, the burden of the 2 million or more refugees has fallen, especially on the neighbouring countries. Our own country, the UK government, have generously contributed finances to help the relief effort. But I do think there is a case, and a very strong case, for the European countries to work together to do a little bit more in finding places for some of those refugees, especially when you consider the number of children that is involved. Germany have responded very positively in this regard, but very few of the other European countries who could, I think, respond have failed to do so. And I think one of the things the British government could do is perhaps work with other countries in Europe and maybe find places for a number of those refugees.
Sometimes, I suppose, we're seen as something of an outpost, aren't we? We're surrounded by sea. We're quite a small set of countries in the UK. How logistically possible is it, do you think, to actually sort of encourage a relief effort of Syrian refugees?
Well, I think you'd have to do it with other countries, first of all, and you have to do it in conjunction with the United Nations. You can't do it just from your own office here in London. You have to work with others. There is the International Catholic Migration Conference is very experienced and very adept at responding to this. And organizations like that will be able to help identify who would be suitable people if they wish to come to another country and where. But you have to do it with others. You can't just do it on your own. It has to be a European Union project, I think, not just a British project.
It would be interesting to see if there can be a cooperative effort on that. Let's move on, Bishop Pat, to the feast day itself. And you mentioned the Filipino community. I'd like to talk about the contribution that migrants make to the life of not just the church, but also our society here in England and Wales. And you've mentioned Tunbridge Wells as a particular example there.
Well, I think the story of the Filipino community in Tunbridge Wells is a brilliant example of how an immigrant community, in this case a Filipino community, makes a tremendous contribution both to the local culture and community, to the hospitals and care homes where they work, and to the local parish. About 10, 15 years ago, the National Health Service saw a shortage of nurses in the area of Tunbridge Wells and the Penbury Hospital. And they secured the help of 100 or so nurses from the Philippines. Their families came over, their husbands and wives, and many of them were not workers in the health service, but they did get jobs very quickly in the local area. And now, so many years later, 15 years later, their contribution in the local community is deeply valued. Deeply valued, first of all, in the fact that the nurses and the other workers in the care homes do a particularly, not a difficult job, but a very good job in responding to the needs of patients and in the care homes. In the local parish, the people are very, very involved. as readers, as Eucharistic ministers, as catechists, and also in the wider community, the Filipinos have become well known as a very welcoming people and a people who share their gifts with the local community and who are very well integrated into the community, both in the parish level, but in the wider level in the community as well.
I'd like to just move on to attitudes. Now, of course, you know, we know it's a subject that causes all sorts of conversation, migration into the UK. Now, as of the 1st of January, Bulgarians and Romanians now have the same rights to work in the UK as other EU citizens. You do get the word fear associated with migration, and I think a certain fear as to why migrants would want to come to the UK. Is it for the betterment of their lives, which is the right idea? But there's a certain fear as to the other factors, isn't there?
There's a number of factors why migrants come to a country or not. Sometimes it's because the job opportunities are there. Sometimes it will be because there's relatives there. Sometimes it's because of the benefits that they see that might be available. I think with the Bulgarians and the Romanians, we have to see how many actually in fact come. We have to wait and see. I think the country was surprised by the number of Polish people that came. Many, however, have got work, have either settled down and their families are grown up and quite well integrated into the country here, children attending the schools, and many have actually gone back to Poland. Other countries are slightly different. Like, one tends to think that the natural contact for Bulgarians and Romanians, the natural country that they might go to within the European Union might be Germany or somewhere closer to them. We haven't a strong historical tie with Bulgaria and Romania, but there will probably certainly be some that will come. One of the areas where certainly some Romanians have come in the past is in the construction industry, but also in the agricultural industry, seasonal workers. But I'm not too sure that many more will come in those areas.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, statistics are one thing, but they can be interpreted in so many different ways, depending on how they've been collected. You know, has the migration come from China and the Far East? Has it come from Africa? Has it? I mean, it is a melting pot, but the negativity seems to be centred around Eastern Europe somewhat.
I think you're right in that. At the moment, the negativity seems to come from people's feelings towards Eastern Europe. For example, we have something like 220 to 230,000 overseas students coming every year. One of the major groups now is coming from China. Of course, they contribute a huge amount to the economy and pay the fees and pay quite high fees, actually, for their courses. But you do not hear anything about the number of Chinese students coming. Neither do you hear any criticism about immigrants who are still coming from other European countries. Like, there has been an increase of migrants coming from Spain, from Portugal, and the number from Ireland has increased once again. And I would imagine the number from Ireland is not of the unskilled workers, but those who are probably highly skilled, and the same from Spain as well. Highly skilled people with university education coming and being able to get jobs here. So you're dead right. It's very much from Eastern Europe at the moment, and certain Eastern European countries as well.
But as we know, attitudes change, and once we're all at one, aiming in the same direction, working as a community, taking the richness from one another's cultures, it becomes very positive. So I'd like to finish on that positive note. It is the World Day for Migrants and Refugees. How do you think we can get back to that recognition of the honesty and diligence and goodness of the majority?
Well, I think Pope Francis emphasises in a very, very special way to be positive and see the good in other people. We can easily see the negative, and there are, I'm sure, negative stories to be told. But that's why I think the Filipino community is a story of the huge positive contribution that one community has made, and there are many other communities like that have made, to the social fabric of Britain and to the church here and in the United Kingdom. And I think our Holy Father would want us to focus on those kind of contributions rather than just highlight one or two negative elements or stories that might reach the papers.
Bishop Patrick Lynch, thank you very much. Well, there you go. That's the first podcast of 2014, first of many, hopefully. All our podcasts can be found on catholicnews.org.uk, and you can follow us on Twitter if you're so inclined, at CatholicEW. And we're on Facebook, obviously, who isn't? facebook.com/CBCEW. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with another Catholic News podcast very soon.